Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, I'm Henry Will. Welcome to the PM Lessons Learned podcast, episode 1, reposted. In this episode, we'll hear the PM Lessons Learned conference call from the 18th of May, 2006. In this conference call, our theme was project teams. We discussed teamwork, diversity, teams across time zones, and teams on big projects. Our career segment was done by Rod Cologne, founder of the ETP Network, our sponsor. Rod is a career coach and shared the need for a CBP, that's a career backup plan. Before we listen to the conference call, I want to thank Dina Henry Scott for supplying the intros and the extro for the PM Lessons Learned podcast. Dina leads the Controlling Chaos podcast. Here's a short promo. Let's listen in.
Feeling like your projects are out of control? You need to listen to Controlling Chaos podcast with Dina Scott. Real project management information from a project manager. A podcast dedicated to helping you succeed in project management.
Succeed in project management.
Project management for the real world. Controlling Chaos. Find out more at controllingchaos.com.
Dina's been a really big help to us here on the PMLessonsLearned.com podcast. Dina presents some valuable project management information on the Controlling Chaos podcast, so I hope you'll listen in. I also hope that you'll visit PMLessonsLearned.com and join our Yahoo group to get more details about our group and information from our group. Our group is all about project managers helping project managers. And here's the conference call from the 18th of May, 2006.
And this is Rod Cologne, and super excited to wish the management team well here as they go on their voyage and continuing on the conference call tradition. And certainly Henry and I had a conversation about 6 weeks ago, and we started talking on certain things and about developing a network, and Henry's, you know, the thoughts and ideas about project management and putting it together, and seeing it today and tonight, debut. It's certainly exciting, and I'm sure Henry and Mara and Barbara, who are helping out and supporting, are kind of getting a understand what I've been going through for about a year and a half and preparing for a call. So I'm excited for them. I'm excited for the group, and that and the ETP style is of true sharing, true networking, and really, you know, giving of each other. And the more that you give, the more that you get. It's just simply unbelievable. And I wish Henry just all the best of success, and the team of Mara and Barbara, and certainly others and other leaders who are to come. So I congratulate you. On Henry himself, Henry is a PMI certified project manager, a PMP, specializing in PMO and agile project methodologies, managing web-enabled software applications, development projects, and accounting and underwriting processes of mortgages, insurance, and pension funds. Henry is a dynamic public speaker and a volunteer with several organizations, including the ETP Network, in leadership roles, teaching, and mentoring. Henry is also involved in professional networking, and I applaud him for this evening. He is also a graduate of New Jersey Institute of Technology, so all the best there, Henry, and I turn it over to my good friend, and I congratulate you for putting this together, and all the best of success as we get the project managers connected together in the ETP style of true networking, which is sharing and reciprocity. So, Henry, take it away.
Okay.
Welcome to birthday.
Thank you very much, Rod. I appreciate it. Rod is the president of ETP Network. I'll be sharing more later in the call about Rod. I wanted to thank him for sponsoring this call as part of ETP Network. We're glad to be on board with that, and I'd encourage everyone to visit the ETP Network website. So what I want to do first is I wanted to give an overview of the goals of this call, this conference call that we're having. The goal of this group is to empower project managers and people studying for the PM test hopefully project managers are going to be sharing lessons learned and helping others on these calls, and at the same time, it'll give a chance to project managers to be recognized. As Keith Ferrazzi says, the person that wrote the book, Never Eat Alone, when I went to hear him about a month ago, he says, we all have to market our own brand. Now, one thing I wanted to say is the differentiator between what we're doing here and what other people are doing for project management is that this is a live conference call. Lots of other things out there, such as podcasts, I'll be talking about that later, and lots of Yahoo groups with discussions and ways to study for the PMP. There's, of course, the PMI chapters. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But our key differentiator here in this call is that it's a live call, and it allows people to share right on the telephone. So let me give an overview of the agenda tonight. First, what we're going to do is we're going to cover some lessons learned. We have a few people on our panel that will be sharing lessons learned. Then we're going to be talking about some project management resources. And then Rod Colon is going to share with us some career information that I think will be very helpful to all of us. And then we'll be ending up with a Q&A session at the end of the call. One of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to keep this call moving with a lot of discussion, but at the same time, I don't want anyone to take too much of the time on the call to give everybody else a chance to talk. It's going to be interactive with our Q&A session, and I'm reminded of a book called Rites of Passage. It's written by John Luck, very good book about looking for executive job changing. This book called Rites of Passage talks about how when you have an interview, you should only talk for about 2 minutes, give a two-minute summary of the answer to someone's question, and then give the other person a chance to talk. So try to stick with that format of just providing a two-minute talk and then giving the other persons on the call a chance to talk. What I'm trying to do here is mute everybody on the call. I think we're in that mode right now. If you have any questions, you can email them to questions@pmlessonslearned.com. I'll be looking at that and watching that email address this evening so that later on in the program, if you want to, we can pick up your questions. This call is recorded, and we hope to make this available on our website or our Yahoo group. So why don't we start out with the lessons learned? Our panel this evening includes three prestigious project managers. We have Dave Case, Barbara Fuller, and also Mara Burns. Now, these people are members in the New Jersey and New York area PMI chapters. Dave Case is a certified project manager. He's a PMP with over 20 years in the project management area. He's consulted with AT&T, BASF, Nedco Health Solutions. He has also worked for the Space Gateway Support, which runs Kennedy Space Center. He's a member of both the New Jersey and Florida Space Coast PMI chapters. He's currently the New Jersey chapter's newsletter editor, as well as past president of the Florida Space Coast chapter. This evening, Dave is going to be sharing with us some comments on lessons learned as it pertains to both teamwork and fairness. Dave, welcome.
Thanks, Henry.
Dave, I'm also going to introduce the other people that will be sharing lessons learned: Barbara Fuller. She's the president of Process and Project Solutions. She has over 20 years of experience in IT and project management, leading large teams and multi-million-dollar initiatives. Her credentials include the designation as a PMP and also a process management certification from Rutgers. Her firm provides management consulting expertise in the disciplines of project and process management, leadership, team building and mentoring, coaching, and Barbara's on the call with us this evening. You want to say hello, Barbara?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara.
So on our panelist this evening is Mara Burns. Mara Burns is a senior IT project manager and a PMO developer. She has an extensive technical background. She's developed a global applications for the financial industry. She has authored several articles on project management and has developed interactive training courses used by major banks. You want to say hello, Mara?
Sure. Hello, this is Mara.
Great. So, Dave, why don't you kick it off with your lesson learned tonight? Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Hi, everyone. In the many years I've been working in project management, I've had good experiences, bad experiences. But let's start with some of the good experiences and my lessons learned. One of the most important things I've learned was teamwork. I worked on a project 6 years ago with four great guys, and I got to use it. We shared a cubicle together. I never thought I would want to share a cubicle, but if I didn't, we would not have been so successful. We actually worked out as a team. One guy in particular had to go to Venezuela and make a presentation. We stopped what we had to do and helped him to make sure he got it done in time. You chipped in and helped any way you can. And the amazing thing is we still talk to each other years later. That's how well we hit it off. We just try to understand each other. And that's half the job, just good teamwork. The other aspect I've learned was having respect for your coworkers. If your boss treats you with respect, fairness, you're willing to go the extra mile for him, and it has nothing to do with money. For instance, I had one VP treat me really good. He was tough, but he was fair. I volunteered to work on a proposal for him. I had nothing to do with it. I could have gone home, and I would not have gotten in trouble, but I volunteered to work over the weekend on it. I think the only thing I got out of it was a pasta dinner, but I contributed anything I could to make help out that proposal get done. In fact, my big job, one job was just to make copies, anything I could. But that was the way of repaying my boss. And, you know, if they treat you well, you'll treat them well. Hopefully it works both ways. And the third thing I want to just say, good working conditions. I had a boss, to make it long story short, I got sick on the job because of my boss. And then I realized this was not for me, so I had to leave. In essence, a good working condition is a big help part of the job. They can make or break you. I mean, not that every day is going to be perfect, but if you have a good situation, that's half the battle. And the fourth thing is probably know when it's time to move on. If you stop learning and you're going through the same routine day in and day out and it's a dead end, start looking to see what's out there. You might be surprised. You never know what you find. You never know. Out of the clear blue might come through to you. And something else is what you're doing tonight is the networking. Networking helped me get my present job now. And I hadn't seen this person in 6 years. So you never know how that comes true. Henry, that's my quick comments. I hope this can help anybody.
Yes, thank you very much, Dave.
My pleasure, Henry.
What's that?
My pleasure, Henry.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Now, I know that also Barbara and Mara also have some comments to add. Barbara, you want to add some of your lessons learned, too?
Yeah, just to chime in on what Dave was saying about teamwork when he talked about making copies. Most of my teamwork came from leading a team of project managers. And what I found the best way to build a team is to understand what each person brings to the table and utilize it, and I'll say the word exploit, utilize it and exploit it. And make them with that particular talent. You know, I had certain people that had technical skills and that they could, you know, I wanted a person that could help me make Microsoft Project, sing and dance and do everything because we were on a limited budget and we couldn't get the high-priced or the upper end of Microsoft Project for an enterprise solution. And he pulled so many things together for us, and because he wasn't the project manager, but he was one of the backbones of the PMO. So when I brought him in to do that, other people that weren't even on my team saw that we were using technical expertise, and they came with their manager's permission and did extra work, just so that they could get experience. Because a lot of times when you find technical resources, sometimes they can't use that nifty new tool necessarily in what they're working on. And I had several people come to me and volunteer to create a project management office and the support area for that. So when you talk about teamwork, if you show people that you respect them for what they bring to the party, it makes all the difference.
Boy, I'll tell you, it almost sounds like we got together and collaborated on our topic this evening. Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you.
At this point, I'd like Mara to chime in. I think you had some things to share as well, Mara.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to share some experiences that I recently had, which really talk to teamwork and diversity as well. I just came off a project that was 2.5 years long, and I had two teams, one in New York and one in Albany. And I had a total of 18 project managers that I was working with. I was building a project management office, a very robust, proactive one. And the main issue that I had to address at the very beginning was the fact that in New York, for example, I had 10 project managers, each one from a different country with a different culture and 5 separate languages that were spoken in the office. To bring together that kind of a team and then bring together the team in Albany, which was another a totally different diverse group, and to have them work together was one of the most challenging things I ever had to do. But I'm going to echo what Barbara said. Find out what people's worth is, what their expertise is. In addition to that, what I had to do was I had to find out what their WND was, their wants, needs, and desires. What made them tick? What was important to them? Where did they want to go, and what did they really want to do? It's very rare that somebody will be open and honest with you when you're their boss, but I was a consultant. So I actually started off the task by putting together a questionnaire that I then sat down with each one of the project managers and discussed in confidence so I could have an idea of what their wants, needs, and desires were and then leverage them to make sure that the project worked and to make sure that they got what they needed and wanted. Desires, well, this is something that sometimes had to be put off in the future. But just the fact that I was willing to listen to them made all the difference in the world because I listened to what they needed, I listened to what they wanted, and they looked at me like, well, how come you can do this and my boss couldn't do this? And it was simply a question of saying, well, this is my focus, you're my focus, and I want to take care of you because I know deep down that if I take care of you, you're going to take care of me. And that's so important when you're leading a group, especially when it's a diverse group. You've got to find out what each individual person wants in that group and figure out how to get it for them, how to get them to trust you. I found that once I was able to respond to their needs and their wants, that they started trusting me, and they were willing to go along with the vast changes that I was making in their environment. We were actually able to build a consensus, actually able to move forward with the plans, and totally change the culture of the organization as a result of it. The ROI on it is phenomenal. The sense of satisfaction that these people have as a result of it is phenomenal. They see themselves now as project managers with a purpose. But it all started with being willing to listen to what they had to say, recognize their diversity, leveraging that diversity, and being willing to treat each and every one of them as a unique person who had specific wants, needs, and desires. That's it.
Well, thank you very much, Mara. I mean, that topic is one that, of course, Rod has shared with us on a number of occasions. Folks, I'm going to put the conference call into question and answer mode, and then we could take questions in the order that they're asked as people raise their hands. While we're in this mode and while I'm waiting to see if anybody asks any questions, I'm going to share with you a few resources that are available to project managers while we're waiting to see if there's any questions about the lessons learned. Of course, there'll be time for Q&A towards the end as well. Let me share a few resources. One is the New Jersey chapter meetings. The New Jersey chapter is going to be having a meeting at the Saddlebrook in Radisson. Information can be found at pminj.org. Also, having a baseball outing to the Commerce Bank Ballpark in Bridgewater. I'd highly recommend that as a good networking event and a chance to meet some other project managers. In New York, we have a breakfast roundtable coming up at 8 a.m. about coaching teams, which goes right along the lines of what we've been talking about as lesson learns tonight. And then there's also a career development network for the New York chapter, advanced interviewing techniques. The details for the New York chapter can be found at pminyc.org. Another thing that I mentioned earlier in the call is about podcasts and other Yahoo groups. Those of you that have joined our Yahoo group, PM Lessons Learned, www.yahoo.com has a link to our Yahoo group. We have on there links and a calendar of events and also archived emails of information for the group. The links that we have there, one of them is to a Yahoo group called PM Hub. That's a very extensive Yahoo group for project managers and those studying for the PMP exam. I took a look at it last week. It's a voluminous amount of information there. I don't think anybody could ever sift their way through all the information that's available there. There's lessons learned from all different countries. I even saw lessons learned in Chinese. I mean, this is very diverse, the information that's on that site, and I would highly recommend that you take a look at PM.
I'm sorry, would you repeat the name of it, Henry?
It's called PM Hub, and if you go to our PMLessonsLearn.com and go to our Yahoo group
right. And
sign on, or if you're already a member and look at the links section, you'll see a link to PM Hub Yahoo group. The other thing that I wanted to mention, too, I stumbled upon this past week while looking around for project management resources, is a PM podcast. It comes out once a week, and it's available to anybody that has a MP3 player or actually a computer that could connect to their website. You can download the audio. And this is a person that's done an international podcast that he puts out once a week, and it's made available to the general public. But, of course, it's specific to project managers. And the topic for the last one in April that I was listening to was about the triple constraint, the four areas of the triple constraint. So that was a really interesting topic, and I would highly recommend that people go to our links section to take a look at that. Also, the calendar of events on our Yahoo group site will also have links for other PM events, as well as the links section having information about all types of other links that are available to project managers. I don't see, yes, I see there's one question out there. Let's take that question.
Right, but one of the resources that I'm using for networking is LinkedIn, and I don't know if anyone's got any experience with it, but it's LinkedIn.com, and it's free, and what you do is you send emails to people to join your network, and then you can search by, if I wanted to interview at BMS, for example, I could search for BMS, and it would show me everyone that I know who knows someone at BMS, and then you can ask them to introduce you and get you in contact with them. It's a pretty neat tool, and I know a few people have gotten some good job leads that way.
Yes, actually, Diana, I belong to LinkedIn, and I have several connections, and I know that Rod does as well, as do several other people that are on the call. And that is a very helpful resource. It's called LinkedIn.com, and as Diane has very well pointed out, you can link to other people that you know and build a network. Line. Nothing beats networking face-to-face, but when you're working on a computer, this is the next best thing. And the search capabilities are, just as Diane pointed out, are really amazing. Thank you, Diane, for pointing that out. I see we have another question. Let me go to that one. Somebody out there have a question?
Yeah, hi. This is Jay Cohen speaking.
Hello, Jay.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Quick question. I'm managing a global program right now. It's a quite extensive program, about $180 million under budget. Got 94 people in the project. And one of the things that I'm finding rather challenging is managing up to 12 different time zones with folks having meetings in the local time zones. Now, they all report up to me, but I feel, and I guess this is my own shortcoming, that I need to attend many of the meetings just to keep my finger in the pie to know what is going on. Any advice as to, pulling back and not having to feel that you have to be at almost every meeting? It's a conference call, of course, but, you know, any advice in that sense to provide empowerment to the local PMs without feeling that you're missing something?
I have a suggestion for you, Jay. It's Mara.
Hi.
I was in a similar situation a couple of years ago, and what we actually ended up doing was rather than getting on the phone at 4 o'clock in the morning, uh-huh. We recorded the conference calls. It wasn't a question of everybody had to have something to say. It was just that we had to be able to disseminate all the information to everybody else. So by recording it, I was allowed to sleep until 6 o'clock. And the same went for the other project managers who needed to have the information. If you feel that you need to respond to whatever's going on there, that's a different story if you have to be there on the spot to respond. But if it's really just a question of you being knowledgeable about what's going on, then the project manager at the location would certainly be empowered by leading it. And then you could still be totally brought up to date on whatever happened at the meeting by seeing or hearing the recording, if it's a teleconference or a video conference.
Right, and it's a combination actually of both, that I need to speak with people and basically manage questions that they do have on particular parts of the project and provide feedback from one region to another. I guess I've inserted myself to be more of the interface between Sydney and India and South Africa and Beijing and Moscow and London. So it presents a challenging, quite a challenge sometimes.
Well, I have another suggestion for you then. Split the world up into 4 different regions and have a direct report for each region that attends these conference calls and represents you.
Right, and I've attempted to do that. I guess I got burned a couple of times with that, and you know, once burned, twice shy, as the expression goes. So That's my only reservation right now. About I got to just find people that are, you know, both capable in managing particular situations and can act as an interface for me within each of these regions.
It's a tough call, but I think you're going to find you'll sleep better if you have somebody in that position.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that.
Thank Jay, you. This is Henry. One thing that I would like to suggest along those lines is also one thing that I found, another lessons learned, is that if you can ask your project managers to provide an agenda ahead of time and talk it over with them maybe a day or so ahead of time, then sometimes talking over it with them and asking them questions about things that might go on or things that are going on locally sometimes will help you to iron out some of the items before they even come up on a call.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. I actually do have weekly meetings with each of the PMs before we have the large meeting with the client. So I do have internal meetings within my team just to get an understanding. But the agenda is a good idea, and there is an agenda for the client meeting. But I'll instruct the team to start providing internal agendas. And, you know, we do the same. You know, we follow pretty much PMI standards with respect to the project and meeting milestones and resource allocation, earned value, et cetera, on where we are in the project and statuses as well. So, you know, we are pretty much following the PMP methodology. But again, it is a large project and, global in nature.
That's great.
Jay, this is Barbara. And I guess my question is the reason that you feel that you need to, as you're saying, be a part of those conference calls, and like I said, you're soon going to burn out across 12 time zones. Is it because of that person or some people have somewhat let you down in what your expectation of them was, or is it just rampant across all 12 time zones that you're having this problem?
No, there are some people that have let me down, and like I said earlier, it's once burned, twice shy. You know, in this case, it's 3 or 4 times shy.
How can you train them to do better, Jay?
Well, what I find is that the project management across the globe, even those who are certified in a certain methodology, whether it be Six Sigma, PMP, or even ISO, which is more for manufacturing, of course, but the cultural nuances vary from country to country. For example, in my JAPA region, which is a Japan-Asia-Pacific region, the folks who are PMP certified in Sydney and in Perth are there. The way they manage a project is a lot different than the folks who are in India and in Singapore. And there, you know, we're only talking about what two and a half hour time differences with respect to time zones, but the countries' cultures and nuances within those cultures varies quite significantly. And when I started the project, I went in with the mindset, oh, okay, I'm a senior project manager with U.S. training, and I could not apply that same methodology and processes across the globe. So what I've had to do is, as a lessons learned, is take my training and the way I've been doing this for 20 years and vary it and bend it and mold it to each of my time zones or each of the countries that I deal with their cultures and how they manage projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jay, it sounds like you and Mara could probably exchange some good pointers with each other. Maybe the two of you would like to get in touch with one another. If you want to send an email to questions@pmlessonslearned.com, I will get you in touch with Mara.
Well, we've actually exchanged business cards in the past.
Oh, great.
I still have yours.
Yeah, we've actually met at one of Rod's functions, and, you know, Rod and I have known each other for many, many years back to, I think, our J.P. Morgan days or maybe just soon thereafter. But I Rod and I know each other quite well.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, I'll be glad to be a sounding board for you anytime you need one.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Same here, Jay, because, like I said, it sounds very intriguing, and I'm one of those people that loves to ask questions and kind of dig to the right issue.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Jay, I think maybe you would like to share a PM Lessons Learned at our next call. At this time, I'm cognizant of the time, and I'd like to move into our next segment. I see that we have a few more questions, but I'm going to hold them off to the end of the call. At this time, I'd like to introduce Rod Colon. He's the one that introduced us at the beginning of the call. He's the founder and the president of ETP Network. A lot of us know him because he's helped us out with our careers. He runs etpnetwork.com and all of the different outreaches that it has. He exposes the recruiting cycle and professional networking for all of the ETP Network members. He shares 24 years of experience in corporate HR and recruitment, professional networking. He's done business development, career coaching. He's got a common sense approach. I got to say that I know that because I know it firsthand. He tells us about career management, networking, and he's got a wealth of knowledge in international staffing, recruiting, and this all gives him unique ability to coach people and consult with today's professionals and executives around the world. Again, he can be reached through his website, etpnetwork.com. Rod, welcome to the call.
Hey, Henry, great job. Great. Yeah, it's interesting. I've been doing the call. You're always, you know, the one sharing and the time to listen and just the information and just taking good quality notes. It's a great job. Great question there, Jay, and just in kind of sharing that openly is a gift to us. So thank you, and thanks, Henry, for the intro. Real quick, I mean, there are other questions, so I really don't want to take up much time here. Henry asked me just a couple of things as far as individuals and project management and the openings and positions, and I have to say, just across the board, I have well over 200 positions because of the way that I've developed my business through strategic partners throughout the U.S. And actually globally. And I would say that 30 to 35% of all the openings that come in have to have some taste, something of project management. So you're on to the right things. As I, you know, teach at Georgian Court University and meet with other schools, what corporate leaders are asking the universities to do is to make sure that project management is part of the curriculum, so that, you know, it's what is needed on the corporate end. So, you know, as I share with my students, you know, it's reading, writing, arithmetic, and project management is the next thing. So I applaud you for being on tonight, and also that what you're doing is dead on. Now, if for some reason right now in your present position as far as working, you have the project management background, but it's just not tapping, meaning that it's not connecting, you're not finding the next job, or you're just not getting the bites out there if you're currently employed, then it is networking, which is a key. And one of the things that Henry asked me to talk about was just career backup plan. And also just to give you a couple of numbers, over the last 9 months, as Henry asked me this question, well, how many people have I helped or placed who are truly project managers? And the number that I have is approximately 15 individuals I have helped or placed in the last 9 months in project management positions. So that's just to kind of give you an idea or a number there. But what is really critical is that, and really most of this information is on my website at etpnetwork.com, certainly under the articles section. I'll just key a couple of things here, which is important. One is the known versus the unknown network. In the unknown network, you're dealing with agencies, you're dealing with web boards, you're dealing with a consumer that doesn't know you. And it is that document, it is that resume that you have that is so key in making sure that it happens. Try to get away from the process of, well, one-size-fits-all resume works for everything, and it really doesn't, especially when a client is looking for so many different skills. What I ask, and those individuals who I coach, I ask them to look at their resume as a proposal to a project. And all of you are project managers, you understand that. So if that resume, if you think of it, not that it looks like a proposal, keep it as a resume, but if this proposal doesn't match what the consumer is going to look for, why would they be interested? So just kind of keep it from the unknown perspective. In the known, and what we're doing here tonight in networking and encouraging that, it is important that as you network that you think about what I talk about, a CBP, or a career backup plan. And just kind of read just real briefly the article that I have here. I typically start my career coaching sessions and seminars by asking the professionals about their career backup plan. I usually get a blank stare. Why is it that professionals chart the most sophisticated disaster recovery plan for their employees but fail to develop the most basic backup plan for their own careers? After a period of silence, the professionals will explain that they do not have the time or do not know how to start one. Developing and maintaining a CBP is critical and must be incorporated into our daily business life. And what does that really mean? It means to network. And Mara touched on a really important point, which is alluding to what is a W1D, a want, need, and desire. And as you meet with individuals and you share business cards, it is important to understand what the individuals want, their need, their desire is, because once you understand that, and you're willing to help them, not to get to the goal, but at least help them move it forward, then you are now starting to develop a relationship. And it's the relationship that builds the network, which builds reciprocity, which builds opportunity, which creates excitement, which creates your backup plan. And the key to a backup plan is the following. You write down what and how will you approach it if, God forbid, your job or business or position is no longer there for you on Monday morning. What are you going to do? And then as a project manager, and this is easy for everyone on this call, as you start laying out the process of what it is that you need to do, and in each one, what are the goals and how do you need to, you know, kind of fit all those pieces in so that if, you know, disaster happens on Monday, what are you going to do on Tuesday? All right, so more on those details, anything like that, just, you know, reach out to me at the ETP Network. My phone number is 732-367-5580. That's the Career Help Desk, and I'm here to help in any way. And once again, Henry, thank you for this opportunity, and all the best.
Thank you very much, Rod, and I want to give a special word of thanks to you as a supporter of PM Lessons Learned. You're the one that helped me to kick this off. You're the one that helped me to network and find people to take part in it, to participate, to share lessons learned, and to also get onto the call. And I really appreciate your promotion of this, and you're helping me out in that process. Several of you may not know, but Rod is my career coach, and he's helped me out immensely, as he has some of the other people on the call, as I mentioned before. So at this time, I'd like to get into the Q&A section of the meeting, and I see that we have some other questions here. I'm going to push the button, and that should allow someone to talk.
Henry, this is Hari Panapali. Congratulations, a job well done in putting together this.
Hi, Harry. How are you? Good that you're on the call.
Yes. I have a question for probably to you and the rest of the panelists. I'm currently managing a project with merging two big companies, and they announced the merger date. without doing any due diligence and what is involved. And now the date is there. The merger has to happen on that day. Now, a lot of things we are discovering as we doing the due diligence, what needs to be done, what systems need to be migrated, what assets need to be brought together, and how what resources have to remain, what resources have to be eliminated at the end of this merger. But the date is fixed. Now, a lot of tasks to be done, and they are asking, go and hire people, get it done. And I have about $1 trillion under management when this merger happens. So a lot of pressure. So any experience with any of the people with a fixed and concrete deadline with a lot of unknowns still being discovered, and there's no limit on hiring resources, but that's getting counterproductive because not many people coming on board will be familiar with the process to get on board right away.
You know, Harry, that's a very good question. And, you know, actually, Dave, are you still on the line?
I'm here.
Yes, Dave. I think Dave, that you've gone through a project. I was involved in it, too, that had a fixed deadline. Do you have any suggestions for Harry at all?
I'll go back to Y2K days.
Yes.
You think about it. That was the ultimate dead-end project, deadline project. You cannot be later than that date. What you have to do is start documenting everything that you find. You have to have one team that starts searching out the problems and one group starts trying to determine a solution and keep on documenting it. Because you're going to find out things you didn't know existed that still have to be fixed. And things you're fixing might create new problems. How are you going to test your solutions out? Things like that. You're going to have a whole plan, test plan, and everything.
Dave, I think you got a good point there. Another thing that I think of back to the YTK days, because I worked with Dave on a project, a very large one. One of the things that I would say, Harry, is one saying we have in project management is to slice the salami, right? I would take the project and split it into pieces. You may find that you can split it into pieces according to, you know, functional area. You might want to split it into pieces according to geographical area or a combination of these, or maybe there's other facets of the project that you could use to split the project up and then put people in charge of those. I'm reminded of a story in the Bible about Moses and Jethro. His father-in-law told him that what he needed to do is divide down the people. He had all these Israelites, and he said, you need to divide the people down and have tens report to one and hundreds report to tens and that type of thing. So my first suggestion would be that you try to, get the management to buy into splitting the project up into pieces, into manageable pieces, and then putting people in charge of that. Or depending on, you know, your involvement, maybe you have other people on your team do that. Another thing that we did, too, that was very productive was we came up with metrics to measure each of the pieces. So in a green, red, yellow, and blue was completed.
Complete. Green was on schedule. Yellow was slightly behind schedule. And red was in big trouble.
Those metrics were to senior management, and when they saw red, they knew something had to be done.
Oh, Henry, another thing he could do is to prioritize everything.
This is Mara. I have another suggestion for you. Having dealt with a similar project with a deadline drop-dead date, what I did was I took a look at it, and I tried to get my arms about what the processes were that we would have to go through to reach our goal, and actually put together a roadmap for the individual teams to follow so that they weren't tearing out their hair. So my recommendation to you, Harry, is that you get someone on board who's good at doing two things. One, identifying patterns, identifying what issues are falling into pattern A, pattern B, pattern C, and breaking them down further so that you know what the processes are that you're going to have to go through in order to get those individual items taken care of. And then you can take that process and you can apply it to other other portions of the project that also need help. But it's really a question, when you have something as massive as that and as time-sensitive as yours, that you be able to identify it as a process and a pattern, because that'll give you a much better feel for what has to be done and a much better grasp of who can do it, when they can do it, how they can do it, why they want to do it. And if they're not lost in what they have to do, and they know they have to follow from step A to step B to step C in order to get to their goal, it's going to be a lot easier for your team leaders in order to get you there.
Yep. Thank
one
you
of the
so
things,
much.
I'm sorry, this is Barbara. One of the things that because we're just somewhat, just hearing a slight edge of a problem here. But again, it sounds like it's something that is coming, you know, fast and furious, and the date is not moving. So what has been said is basically looking at how you're organized as the PM. As I would say to people, you're in charge of seeing the whole picture. So in essence, what I think that was what Henry had said about trying to divide this up. First, it's got to be chunked up, because you were talking about systems that had to be merged, process that had to be changed, resources that might need to be whatever. So there's this big picture, and then there's those items to be chunked up. And I heard also about prioritization. The prioritization, it's got to have some criteria of why it's number one or why it's number two. Otherwise, everything's going to work into being a number one. So in essence, what you're looking for is to understand the risk of not having it done on that deadline date. There's a lot of things to be done, but there are things that have to be done. And just, you know, getting the buy-in from the management team of saying, What is this criteria, helping them and suggesting? What is it? What's the risk of that item not being done, and being able to say, this is why I'm deploying resources to these five items rather than trying to handle 20 items? And what I've also found is that when you do something like that and you're able to talk to management and say, this is why I'm taking this approach, then in essence, they know that those other items are at risk, and you can have somebody to start working on what are my contingencies, because is a good probability those other items are not going to be done.
Excellent. Thank you so much for very valuable questions.
Thank you, Hari, for calling in. I see I have two other questions here. Let's see if we can get to one or two of those. Maybe we can cover them briefly. I see we're running short on time here. Okay, what is your name and your question?
Hey, it's David Leach on the line. I'm a PMI project manager, New York City chapter at JP Morgan Chase. Actually, two little quick questions. One was sparked by Jay working on a global project, and I wanted to know if anyone had any experience of, you know, I mean, everyone sort of talks about PMI a lot, but there's many different project management practices all around the world, and when I talk to a lot of the people in England, they all seem to have PRINCE2 skills, and that's very key. And I've never really worked or come across it actually on my projects, but I'd like to know if anyone has an experience of the differences between some of the two different styles or whatever it is. And then secondly, the question is, the thing that attracted me to project management in the first place is that I'm very passionate about working with people and teams and fixing problems and working together to find solutions and bringing a solution together to a finishing goal. The thing that demoralizes me about project management is a lot of the administrative side of project management, may I call it, or the scientific side of project management, which actually is what PMI brings to the table, I feel. It kind of like it takes away the art of the project management and brings in the science and the admin, and I'm finding that balance hard to work with. In that, you know, I love the tonight we've been talking about how to fix problems. How, you know, I've got this problem with a deadline solution, and we're brainstorming to how we fix a problem, but we're not using PMI techniques. We're just troubleshooting it, and that's my sort of, you know, if anyone has any sort of ideas about the balance between the art and the science of project management and where to find that right balance, that's my struggle. So there's a couple of questions for you.
Very good questions.
I have one suggestion for you, David. Hi, it's Mara. And that is, first of all, what I did, because I didn't want to have to deal with the day-to-day struggle of maintaining reports and doing all kinds of PMI stuff, is that I got an assistant whose sole responsibility was the administrative chores involved in project management. And then you can spend your time troubleshooting and working with people and finding solutions. Because I agree with you, some of this can be very bureaucratic and heavy and chair-bound and desk-bound, and it's like, no, I want to solve problems. I don't want to have to go through this stuff. So convince JPMC to hire you an assistant.
Oh, I wish it was that easy.
I know. But we can dream, can't we?
When I had spoken before about setting up that project management office, it was really more, part of it was the project support. Because what I was getting from my guys was, you know, because we were, you know, a part of a large corporation, and there were things that we were asked to do that they didn't see much value added in, but we needed to do them because it was imposed upon us. What I was able to do, and again, it was because I had alliance with my peers, is that we did a lot of the things that were administrative. We were able to try to automate those things, and that is why I needed certain people to be involved in doing some of the automation of it. Specific forms that they were the same way, check boxes, we did things like that. We even had union people, the secretaries were union, and I was able to work with them to enrich their jobs. And they really appreciated it because there was a lot of things that we needed to do that were truly administrative. And they were getting training in different tools that they wouldn't have got training in. And they love doing that. Now, I don't know whether those conditions exist, but it's about being resourceful to be able to try to put, the reason I was doing it is I wanted my guys in, you know, in being able to see that big picture with a project. They couldn't see the big picture if they were down there in the trenches, you know, looking at or trying to create an Excel report or doing something else.
David, I hope that helps. I see that we still have another question. And, David, we didn't really answer your first part of your question there. What I'd ask is that if you could send that email, that to questions@pmlessonslearned.com, perhaps we could answer that the next time. Let's go to the next question.
Hi, this is David Anderson. I wonder, you know, these questions are very, very interesting and engaging, and it's not necessarily always the best forum to do it in a chat. Are you going to set up a chat room so that these discussions can be carried on in a offline?
You know, David, actually there's a few of us that have started that, and we've brainstormed a lot of great ideas. And actually, I was sitting here just a few moments ago. I made a note to myself that it would be great to have a bulletin board where we could post certain topics and have discussion around those topic threads, even more so than a chat. I think that would be very
helpful. Yeah, it's sort of a discussion board is really what I meant.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be something great. If anybody out there on the call has any ideas of where we could find a free service that would make that available to us, maybe we could set that up. I know that actually we have an email address called suggestions@pmlessonslearned.com. If you have any suggestions for future calls, or if you have any suggestions of things that we could do as a group, we'd be more than happy to take a look at those suggestions. And thank you very much, David, for suggesting that. I'm going to see if I could find anything, because I think that that would definitely be a good way for people to share their knowledge. And that's really what this group, the reason why I started it, was so that I could facilitate project managers helping project managers and those that are studying for the PMP exam. Yes, go ahead, David.
By the way, just put my two cents worth in. I think that one of the biggest things to watch out for is scope creep, and managing your scope is like absolutely essential if you have a definite deadline.
Definitely.
Good pointer, David. Good pointer. Yes, that's one that we always have to keep our eyeballs on, and I think that would probably be a good topic for a future conference call. I would like to just mention a few things here I wanted to say at the end of the call. We are looking for volunteers to do things like manage the Yahoo group list and to manage other lists. If you go to the Yahoo group and look at the files link, you will see that we have a list there of items that volunteers can help out with. I'm hoping also to be posting book recommendations at one point. We also have there a list of ideas for PM Lessons Learned for future calls. If anybody would like to share lessons learned, please email your idea and your name to share@pmlessonslearned.com. I mentioned the suggestions at pmlessonslearned.com for your suggestions, and we're also able to take questions in advance of our calls at questions@pmlessonslearned.com, and I'm hoping that at some point we can have some volunteers to manage all these different mailings that will be coming in. But I'd like to thank those that were on the call this evening, Rod Colon, the president of ETP Network. Rod, a lot of us owe a lot to you for your ability to teach us a lot about careers, a career backup plan, networking. I want to thank Mara Burns and Barbara Fuller. Both of the two of them have been instrumental in putting this call together. They've spent hours and hours on the phone with me. We've had conference calls to discuss the agenda and how exactly this call should be put together. I want to thank Dave Case for contributing his lesson learned this evening. And I want to thank all of you that are listening in. And until the next time, keep on learning.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, our first conference call for the PMLessonsLearned.com group. I hope that you'll join us. I hope that you'll join our Yahoo group via the link on our webpage. And also, one of the things mentioned during the call was that somebody suggested that we would have a discussion board. Well, we do have a BBS or a discussion board. See the link on our homepage. Please join us at pmlessonslearned.com. And now to leave off, here is an announcement about another podcast, Cornelius Fischner. He's also supported us a lot and helped us with getting our podcast going. He runs a couple of podcasts, one called the PM Podcast and the other one the PM Prepcast. Here's some information to leave you with, some good thoughts, and I hope that you'll tune in soon to our future podcast. Thank you.
Are you studying to take the PMP exam? Are you tired of reading the PMBOK guide yet? Wouldn't it be great if you could use your MP3 player to prepare for the exam? Well, now you can by listening to the Project Management Prepcast. I am Cornelius Fichtner, the host of the Project Management Podcast, and now also the host of the Project Management Prepcast. In this new program, I will systematically get you acquainted with the tools and techniques, methodologies and theories to help you feel ready to sit for the PMI's Project Management Professional Exam. It's never been easier. And trust me, it's much more entertaining than the PMBOK guide. And the even better news, it's free until January 2006. So go ahead and listen in today at www.pmprepcast.com. Together, we can put those three letters behind your name.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.